where Kerry talks. It's Kerry Today with Gerry O'Sullivan.
Now, as you were hearing in our news, Father Sean Sheehy's sermon still creating waves this morning. The Bishop of Kerry informing him that he was off all mass until the return of the parish priest in Listowel, who is on pilgrimage at present. Father Sheehy rejecting that and rejecting the criticism of his sermons. In a moment, we'll hear from Father Sean Sheehy in response to the criticism, the people walking out of the church on Sunday, St. Mary's Church in Listowel, and other issues to do with his sermon. But first, here's a little bit of what he said in Listowel, in St. Mary's Parish Church at the weekend.
What is so sad today is you rarely hear about sin, but it's rampant. It's rampant. And we see it, for example, in the legislation of our governments. We see it in the promotion of abortion. We see it, for example, in the example of this lunatic approach of transgenderism. We see it, for example, in the promotion of sex between two men or two women. That is sinful. That is mortal sin. And people don't seem to realize it. But it's a fact. It's a reality. And we need to listen to God about it, because if we don't, then there's no hope for those people. And so God is also telling you and me today, look, you have a responsibility to seek out those who are lost. You have a responsibility to call people to an awareness of the fact that sin is destructive, sin is detrimental, and sin will lead us to hell. When we honor the saints on the first of this coming month, we honor people who are saints. Why are they saints? Because they repented and because they sought forgiveness. As somebody said one time, heaven is full of converted sinners. And so today, God says to us, I have come to call sinners. But if you don't admit you're a sinner, then you're not listening to my call, and I can't do anything for you, because it's a two-way street. Now, there are people, you see, who won't like to hear what I'm saying. But the day you die, you will find out that what I'm saying is not what I invented, it's not what I came up with, it's what God is saying. And the day you die, you will find out that is the truth. Our prayer for people is that it won't be too late for people. But how will people know that God wants to forgive them if we don't tell them? How will people who are lost be found if we, as God's people, don't call them and say, look, God loves you. He has come to call sinners, but he wants you to have life and have it to the full. Because that's what he wants. He wants it to live life to the fullest. But since he's the author of life, we can only live it through, with, and in his grace, through the power of his Spirit. So today, we thank God for calling us, and as the first reading reminds us, for prodding us to become conscious of our sinfulness, so that we will turn to him and say, Lord, please forgive me. And he's only too willing to do that. And it's in that forgiveness we experience God actually saving us from Satan and all his wiles and ways. And he has many wiles and ways. I was talking to a woman there a few weeks ago. Her 17-year-old daughter, who was out with her friends in Tralee, came home, and she handed her mother a condom. The mother said, where did you get that? She said, an HSC van was handing these things out in Tralee. And she said, my gracious me, that is promoting promiscuity. That is horrible. Horrible. And so therefore, as Christians, we need to stand up for God. And if we don't, then there's no hope for many people. So today, the Lord speaks to us very clearly. And he calls us to be his people and to benefit from his compassion, from his love, from his mercy. And so today, we thank the Lord for this. And those of you who happen to be leaving today, God help you. That's all I have to say to you. And God bless you who are here and who are worshiping God. God bless all of you.
That's a little bit of the sermon on Sunday morning in St. Mary's Parish Church in Listowel from Father Sean Sheehy. I spoke to him yesterday afternoon following the announcement by the Bishop of Kerry that he was apologising for the message, that the message wasn't in tone with the Christian message of the church, and that the Mass and the Family Sunday Mass wasn't the place for such words described in such tones. I spoke to him about the bishop and what he had said, and I also spoke to him, first of all, about what his reaction was and view was of the 20 or so people who walked out in protest at his sermon.
Well, obviously they walked out basically because I was saying that sin is embedded, you know, in the modern culture, and it's even enshrined in legislation, you know, as we see where abortion is permitted, same-sex marriage, I mean, transgenderism is happening. HSC Van, for example, is handing out condoms to teenagers. Boys or little boys are told that they could be girls, little boys. That's what I was saying when these people got up and walked out. So obviously, I figured either they thought this was okay, or and they were protesting it, and whatever reason they might do so, you know, was beyond me.
And you said, look, I all I can say to you is God help you.
Yes, exactly, because God does need to help them, because they need to realize that this is really tragic, this is really sinful, and that people need to face it and repent and seek forgiveness, because it's totally contrary to the scriptures and to the teaching of the church. So if people want to be Catholic, then they need to understand that they cannot accept those things. They need to reject them and fight against them.
Mm. You made a call as well during your sermon for people to call out sin, to point out to the people who were engaged in sin, to say you need to repent, otherwise you won't get into heaven.
And I was quoting the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says, where God revealed to Ezekiel, he said, if you see somebody doing wrong and you say nothing and they die in their sin, then you would be held responsible for their sin. I mean, that to me is frightening, but that's the reality. Also, I was quoting the spiritual work of mercy, which says you must admonish the sinner. And I mean, you don't admonish the sinner out of a sense of superiority complex, but out of a sense of love, because nobody wants anybody to go to hell.
Mm.
But if people don't realize how grave the sins are that they may be doing themselves or maybe supporting others doing, then my God, the day they die, I mean, it'll be too late.
Mm. You also pointed to our legislators and our legislation along the lines of...
I said that sinfulness actually is enshrined in legislation. And there, of course, as I said, I refer there to abortion, to same-sex marriage, and so on. Totally contrary to the scriptures and the teaching of the church.
Mm.
And so because those things are legislated, and sadly a lot of people think that because there's no law against it, it must be okay. And that's not true, of course.
Do you accept the democratic will of the people of Ireland when they voted in favor of same-sex marriage?
And that's what I do. I do, of course, accept the democratic will of the people. But the democratic will of the people is not the criterion for truth. The criterion for truth comes to us from God through the scriptures and the teaching of the church, not through the people. And that's a reality. Just because I choose something does not make it right. Or it doesn't make it wrong. Right and wrong are determined by God and the teaching of the church based on the scriptures.
Mm.
So that's where I was coming from.
What would you say to someone who would say that your version, what you were talking about, your truth as you see it, and you mentioned the book of Ezekiel, very Old Testament, very judgmental, very condemning people rather than supporting, or rather being maybe more compassionate, as the current Pope Francis calls Catholics to be in these particular areas?
Yeah, but you know, we're not really relying, you see, what compassion, I think, today actually has been totally co-opted. Compassion means that you're willing to suffer with someone else, and being willing to suffer with somebody else means to be there in a helpful mode. And the best way, from a spiritual standpoint, the greatest help that I can be to people is to provide them with an opportunity to repent of their sin and seek the forgiveness that God makes available through His church.
But to tell them what you're doing is wrong and you're going to go to hell unless you do what God says.
That's the truth. if they are doing something wrong and they don't depend...
You see that as compassion.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, look, let's face it, Jerry. As the old saying is, the truth hurts, but it sets us free. You know, Jesus, for example, did not come to make people feel good. He came to save people from their sins. And that was actually the gospel of the Sunday. I have come, he said, to seek out and save what was lost. In other words, those people who are lost in sin. And why are people lost in sin? Sometimes they don't even realize that what they're doing is a sin. That's where the church's responsibility kicks in, because the church has a responsibility to identify what is sin and what isn't, so people will know what they're choosing freely.
Mm. And what do you say then? You talked in your sermon, or the part that I saw of your sermon, you talked about people being able to seek forgiveness, to repent, and then live life to the fullest. You said live their lives to the fullest. How do you square that then with what we do see, what we have seen? We have seen people of homosexual orientation deny that part of themselves, which the church calls on them to do, not to act on their impulses. And we've seen many of them have their lives destroyed. We've seen many of them take their own lives. We saw an era of persecution in the law and morally of homosexuals. And very sadly, many of them ended up killing themselves. Because they couldn't live with it. So how do you live your life to the fullest if you deny an intrinsic part of yourself?
Look, there are lots of things that may be intrinsic to us, like our proneness to sin, that we certainly don't give in to in order to live life. The fact is that Jesus here is talking about not just simply life here on earth, he's talking about eternal life. So you can live life to the fullest by being faithful to him. And as he says himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. By keeping his commandments, that's the life. Mm. And so when I said, live life to the fullest, those are Jesus' own words. And living life to the fullest means living in the grace of God. Because it's only in the grace of God that we can really experience life as God wants us to have it.
Mm. Do you accept that some people are born homosexual, that they're born with this orientation, that's an intrinsic part of it, or do you believe that it's just these are sinful people who cannot deny their origins?
No, I mean, look, we're all prone to sin. I mean, let's face it, every one of us, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would certainly be able to overcome it at all. But I think that there is a small percentage of people whose homosexual orientation may very well be biological. But whatever my orientation is, the fact is that God calls me to control myself in accord with his teaching, in accord with his will. And that means obeying the Ten Commandments. That means practicing the Beatitudes. And that's, message.
Yeah. Are you saying then that a small percentage of people with the biological, are you saying that not every person that's gay is biologically gay to your belief?
No, not at all.
So some people are just doing it because...
It's nurture. It's not nature there for many. It's nurture. It's the environment in which they grew up. Yeah, absolutely. There are plenty of studies, actually, that show that. I mean, I saw that myself, actually, during my years in America as well. Mm. I mean, that's a fact. And that's why, for example, there were even some psychologists who were very successful in helping people, who thought that they had a homosexual orientation, actually to find out that they really didn't.
Are you talking about conversion therapy?
We're talking about conversion therapy, yeah. Very successful in many areas. However, of course, the media came down on them, and of course those people who were promoting homosexuality were very much offended because they thought, well, then that's not really affirming our homosexuality and so on. Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Can I ask you your response to the statement made by the Bishop of Kerry, who was apologised for comments that you made concerning same-sex relationships, contraception and transgender rights? He issued the apology following your sermons at the weekend. He said that your words were not in the Christian tradition. They don't represent the Christian position. And also made the point that I suppose the point I was making, that point, that argument, that it's a far more compassionate church now. That's not fire and brimstone. That's not condemning people for those actions.
The fact is that compassion must never be at the expense of the truth as revealed by God, Jesus Christ, and the teaching of his church. Compassion to me is a little bit like surgery. You know, compassion means that you also have to call the person to embrace the pain in order to experience the healing. And that's where the difference lies. And actually, the bishop was totally wrong when he said it was not in accord with a Christian. The poor man mustn't even know the catechism. He certainly doesn't know the scriptures to make a statement like that. The fact is, he's totally coming out of his feeling side, his emotional side. And as I said to him myself, I said, you are actually, I said, sacrificing the truth for the sake of appeasing people who do not want to come face to face with their sinfulness.
Okay.
And that's the tragedy.
The homily at regular weekend parish mass is not appropriate for such issues to be spoken of in such terms. He said you were wrong in what you said and where you said it as well.
But where else is it going to be spoken? Tell me, where else is it going to be spoken? It's the word of God. And so a priest actually is obligated by the teaching of the church to preach the gospel and the readings as they are identified for each particular Sunday. He is urged not to deviate from the scriptures. So whatever the scriptures say on the Sunday, that's what God wants the people to hear. Not everything that we hear, I mean, not everything a child hears from the parent is comforting. Mm. Not everything the child hears from the parent feels good.
Yeah.
But a good parent disciplines the child and calls the child to an awareness of what the child should not be doing and what the child should be doing.
Do you feel that your parishioners are children to be told what not and what not to do? Is that how you view them?
But the priest, look, this is something that seems to be forgotten today. You know, why is the priest called father? He's called father because he is the father of the children. He's the father of the flock. His job is to provide for them what they need in terms of spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. His job, like any good father, is also to be a disciplinarian. His job is actually to bring them the truth. His job is actually to guide them to heaven. That's his job. And if he doesn't do that, then, like St. Paul says, you know, he said, I cannot preach the word because that's what God is calling me to do.
And what do you say to those who are horrified by your words?
Well,
the people who walked out and who feel that you have a very fundamentalist Catholic position that lacks compassion and empathy.
Yeah, but it's not my fundamentalism, is it? You know, I'm not inventing it. I didn't create it. This is the word of God.
Do you see yourself as the only priest then that's speaking the truth? Because other priests would have the more, let's say, in line with what the Pope is saying, they need support, people need support, they need to be helped, non-judgmental, respect for one another, as the Bishop talked about in his statement as well today.
But did you listen to Pope Francis there, you know, a few months ago when he said, somebody asked him about same-sex marriage, you know what he said? You can't bless sin, you know? You can't bless sin. So what is he saying about a homosexual marriage? That those people in it were committing sin. That comes from the Pope.
Yeah.
I mean, do people even listen to these things? Obviously not.
Well, his comments wouldn't be as strong as your comments on what you said in terms of the condemnation you're offering. To say, look, repent from your sins or you're going to hell.
Yeah,
if you're gay, effectively, you're going to hell.
But see, all you're trying to do now, basically, is to justify these people's negative reaction. What about all the people who remained, you know? What about all of them? What about this morning, for example, when I completed the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you know, the people applauded, a standing ovation. What about them? What about the people who came into the sacristy and said, it's high time we actually heard the truth? What about those people? Are they fundamentalists too? I mean, that's the reality.
You got a standing ovation this morning. You got a standing ovation this morning.
Not too long ago.
Yes.
He said, you know, you can't preach the gospel today because it might offend someone. But we need to, for the sake of living life to the fullest, for the sake of eternal life. We need to.
Mm.
And that's the fact.
Do you think that our politicians, the ones who legislate for things like same-sex marriage, some of them are openly gay, the soon-to-be Taoiseach again, Leo Varadkar, do you think that they are going to hell? for what
they've done. Absolutely. If they don't repent of their sin and seek forgiveness, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what they are doing is contrary, first of all, to the law of nature. Secondly, and more importantly, it's contrary to the law of God.
Yeah. Can I ask you... Yeah,
okay.
Sorry, go on. Finish your point.
I said, when you go against God, who's the author of life, you're actually going against life itself.
Can I ask you, you told a story as well. You described it as horrible, the reality of the HSE handing out contraception to 17-year-olds in Tralee.
Exactly, that dash van, exactly. Because I said, what these people are doing, you know, disguised as helping, they're actually promoting promiscuity. Because
do you really believe that, Father Sheehy? Like, that's nothing to do. It's nothing to do with sexual health, or preventing unwanted pregnancies.
Well, it doesn't, because you know what, Jerry? See, I come, you know, spent 40-something years in America. I saw way back in the end of the 70s where public schools started handing out condoms to boys because they thought, oh, this will reduce promiscuity, this will reduce unwed pregnancy. You know what it did, Jerry? It tripled it, tripled it. Why? Because you're actually giving an instrument to a teenager who, first of all, is not very much in control of himself and is struggling with his or her identity and so on and so forth. So what you're actually saying is you can go out and have sex and there will be no consequences. You don't have to worry about anything. But we forget again the teaching of Christ and his church, which says that God created sex exclusively for a man and a woman in marriage.
Yeah. And again, that's the fundamentalist position that you were exposing.
No, Jerry, hold on, Jerry. That's not the fundamentalist position. That's God's position.
Yeah. But what about the reality, Father Sheehy? What about the reality of the system we had in this country for decades when we didn't have condoms, when we weren't allowed by condoms, and priests like you and bishops and cardinals were telling us we'd go to hell if we had condoms? We had an industry of Magdalene laundries. Sex was still going on. Unwanted pregnancies were still happening. And we hid them away, and we persecuted those who were unlucky enough to be in the bottom rungs.
No, what do you say?
Is it not better to have the choice?
Hold on.
Is it not better to have an option for people who are having sex anyway? If you get rid of all condoms tomorrow, you're not going to stop young people having sex, are you?
Hold on. Yes, you are.
I'd say the evidence would be stacked firmly against that position. The reality would be stacked firmly against that position.
Of course you will. Of course you would.
You believe that condoms promote sex and the people won't have sex if condoms aren't around. Is that what you're really saying?
Of course it does. Absolutely. And actually, studies show that very clearly, that it promotes sex because it takes away any sense of responsibility. It also actually says, too, that sex outside of marriage is absolutely fine so long as you're wearing a condom. I mean, that's a horrible message to send to young people, to anybody.
Is it not the sexual health message, though? The avoidance of contracting sexual diseases.
No. The sexual health message, Jerry, is basically go ahead, have sex, so long as there's not going to be a pregnancy. And if there is a pregnancy, go have an abortion. That's the sexual health message. That's a very unhealthy and inhuman message to send to people.
Do you think it was better when we didn't have contraception and we had manual laundries?
What about the laundry?
Is that what you... Do you think it was better in those days in this country when people were
sexually
repressed? And plenty of sex was going on.
No, it was not better in those days. But the fact is, though, that was the best that they knew how in those days. Now, you see... and also, a lot of the stuff about the laundries and all the rest of that stuff, too, has been exaggerated by the media as well.
I'll have to stop you there. That's just not true. It's been documented. I've interviewed many women who were in those laundries.
I'm sure you have.
And the terrible tales that they've had to tell about their families for generations. Generations of people came through those.
Look, by the same token, Jerry...
And you're saying it was exaggerated.
Hold on.
Was it invented? Was it made up?
Like the two and babies thing, you know.
What about the two?
And also like the woman, for example, the Indian woman, you know, that was used actually to legitimize...
Savita Halappavanar.
That was a total lie.
Father Sheehy, I'm sorry. That's been well documented. It's been well documented. It's factually correct what happened. And a terrible thing that happened to her, being denied adequate health care, which would have saved her life.
No, that was that was an example of malpractice. It had nothing to do at all with the illegality of abortion or anything like that.
Okay.
With malpractice.
Can I ask you one in the time that's left? Can I ask you one final question?
Definitely. Yeah.
Will you continue to say mass? You're a retired priest, but you were helping out.
The fact is that Bishop Brown said today that until Father Declan comes out, he was going to take me off all masses, you know. And I said, okay, fine, that's your prerogative.
Have you been told that? Are you off masses?
He told me that, yeah.
He contacted you and said you can't say mass anymore.
Well, not anymore, he said, until Father Declan comes back. But I told him, I could care less, really, because I know myself, it's like anybody else, I know myself that what I said cannot be disproven by any honest-to-God Catholic Christian or Catholic teaching, and that's the bottom line.
So you don't accept the verdict or the word or the comments and the instruction of your bishop?
I don't. I really don't, because I think that what he's doing basically is that he's actually sacrificing the truth, or he's muzzling the truth in order to appease people because they don't want to face reality that they need to face before they die, and that's a given.
I mean, okay.
He should have said to the people, look, Father Sheehy was only preaching the truth. That's it. He's only preaching the gospel. He's only preaching the catechism. That's it. See?
Okay. Father Sheehy, listen, thanks very much for talking to us on the program.
Okay, and I'll send you a copy.
There you go. That is the comments and the words from Father Sean Sheehy following the controversy after his sermons in St. Mary's Church in the Stole over the weekend, and the fact that he's been stood down now from saying Mass until the return of the parish priest by the bishop, and the bishop has apologised for the tone and the content of the sermons that were delivered over the weekend. Lots of you getting in touch with us, lots of people having different views on what Father Sheehy had to say.
Where Kerry talks, it's Kerry Today with Gerry O'Sullivan.
Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us. Lots of those to get to this morning. A listener gets in touch and says, Father Sheehy, the same man who calls gay people sinners, but has no issue shaking hands with a sex offender. I applaud that priest. He had the guts to tell it as it is. It has become a moral cesspit. No holding back. The day of reckoning comes sooner or later for everyone. That's the reality. To the bishop, life is not a popularity contest. Don't be afraid to speak the truth of the commandments. That comes in from Catherine this morning. A separate comment here from Catherine in Tralee says, did that priest condemn all those priests who abuse children? I am a nurse and 57 and have never seen a HSE van handing out condoms. I live and socialise in Tralee. He needs to stay retired. No compassion at all for a priest, says Catherine in Tralee. Father Sheehy was preaching the words of Christ. What he said was the truth. Bishop Ray Brown is just trying to be popular. He shouldn't have apologised at all. Another caller says she was deeply saddened with the bishop's statement yesterday and that he was not supporting his priest, Father Sheehy. No wonder people are so confused when this type of thing is going on, says another listener. And another comment, oh my God, from under what rock did he crawl out of? It's the likes of him that has turned people off going to Mass and the Catholic faith in general. The fact that he got his knuckles wrapped by the bishop, says this listener, has made him worse, says James. James getting in touch on that. Another listener says, Father Sheehy is not a fundamentalist. He's speaking the truth. Our bishop does not know his religion and he is trying to appease people. Father Sheehy is a fine preacher. Another listener says, fully back Father Sheehy, very proud of him. Father Sheehy, thank God, at last we have someone to speak the truth, says this listener. Well, that's the issue with it. And the question is Father Sheehy out of step with modern Catholic values and the modern Catholic Church? Many comments would suggest that he is well out of step in relation to that. He's certainly out of step with the democratic norms and the laws of the land. And I asked him that question. I said, do you accept the democratic will of the people of Kerry, of Listowel, who voted overwhelmingly in support of same-sex marriage? He said he did, but that doesn't mean just because it's the law doesn't mean it's right, according to Scripture. And clearly, Father Sheehy is a priest who adheres very closely, in the strictest sense possible, with Scripture and believes that Scripture as written down is a direct line and the direct word of God. And that would be out of step with what a lot of Catholics believe in relation to how they think on those things. With me on the comment line now is Ben Slim, Labour Party activist. In Tralee, openly gay himself, responding to what Father Sheehy has had to say. Ben, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. How are you? I suppose it's a question. Your response to what Father Sheehy had to say there in relation particularly to his comments about homosexuals being sinners who need to repent.
Yeah, so I suppose I have a very conflicted view there of what Father Sheehy has the moral authority to comment on, considering that he queued up to shake hands with a man convicted of sexual assault to say that he just wanted to support him. So, I mean, he seems to have a double standard when it comes to sin. It's particularly dangerous, the conversation he attempted to start about conversion therapy, which we know causes LGBTQ young people to harm themselves physically, to even kill themselves. So I think the idea that this man could preach on behalf of a supposed loving, caring community church is quite damaging. And I think all I can say is that the people of Listowel have been wonderful since this sermon was preached on the weekend and have really come out and shown that the queer community, as always, are very welcome in Listowel.
What do you say then to, and we have this from several people who were there and also confirmed by Father Sean Shee this morning, the people who gave him a standing ovation when he said Mass again yesterday morning? Your response to them?
I mean, I think those people, they feel that Ireland has moved on from the version of Ireland that they have experienced or have learned to live with. And I think as human beings, we are all afraid of change. But the difference is that back when that was the standard thought and the majority thought in Ireland that LGBTQ people were disordered and that it was a sin, was fear. And a lot of those queer people, we still existed, we're still there, we've been here throughout history. In fact, if you look at the world before Catholicism and imperialism, queer people were openly, and they openly existed, they were very intrinsic to society. So the idea that we haven't existed until recently and it's a new phenomenon is crazy. These people that are standing up and giving a standard ovation, I think they fear the change, and when you're fearful and you have fear in your heart, that's when you're going to celebrate these old-fashioned and out-of-date views that actually cause people to harm themselves and exclude them from society.
Mm, and that point was put to him about the way homosexuals used to be treated both under the law and morally led by the Catholic Church in days gone by, that it caused huge damage to people and repressed parts of themselves that caused them untold damage.
Yeah. I mean, we still have people in this country that have criminal convictions for being gay. Mostly men who have criminal convictions for being gay. Now, thankfully, thanks to the work that the Labour Party started when it was in government, those convictions are to be overturned. There's an act going through the Dáil at the moment to overturn all of those convictions and basically say that those convictions never existed. And we did receive a state apology from Leo Varadkar when he was Taoiseach, apologising for the fact that gay men were persecuted under Irish law. So, you know, the country has moved on, and I think what we need to welcome, actually, is the complete separation of church and state, because the church is welcome to have its views for its members and the people that want to subscribe to those views, but they don't get to impose them upon Irish society in whole.
What do you say, Ben, to those who feel that, and some of them are commenting and getting in touch with us this morning and are saying, look, finally someone is speaking the truth, we need to concentrate on what is and isn't right, what is and isn't sin, and you can't be, I'll use the phrase, a pick and mix Catholic. Either you're a Catholic, you adhere to the rules and dogma of the church, or you're not.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the Catholic Church itself is a pick and mix organisation. If you look at the items that they're talking about, the majority of them are from the Old Testament, which as Catholics they put stock in, but the New Testament is obviously the most important, which is represents a change in view. There's also several theocratic academics out there that believe that the Bible has been mistranslated a number of times, including a complete mistranslation as early as the 1950s from the word paedophile to homosexual by a certain politically motivated pope who wanted to make sure that the language excluded people who were becoming more prominent in society.
Where Kerry talks, it's Kerry Today with Gerry O'Sullivan.
Yeah, keep comments and opinions coming into us on the programme. Lots of you getting in touch, having your say on the sermons preached in Listowel at the weekend. Breda Fallon says, Dear Jerry, I was listening as always to your programme on Tuesday morning regarding Father Sean Shee. I thought the man was absolutely correct in what he said. The problem the Catholic Church and priests have today is fear. Fear of telling the truth. Because society, unfortunately today, don't want to hear anything that might upset or exclude people that are only half committed to their Catholic faith. Father Sean Sheehy, by the sound of him, is genuinely worried that the Catholic faith is misinterpreted, dissected, and its commandments are totally disrespected. Under no circumstances should Father Sean Sheehy be asked to apologise for what he preached, nor should the Bishop of Kerry apologise on his behalf. For what? Telling the truth. That's his job and vocation. And all I can say is may God bless him for his courage and true faith. We need our priests and spiritual directors to find their backbones and stop following the crowd in this new me-ism culture that's taking over the world. He spoke the true faith. He's quite entitled to do so. It's our Catholic Church. We need to be reminded and take ownership of our commitment and loyalty to God and our true Catholic apostolic faith, which is to live in the image and likeness of God. The only way to do that is follow his commandments. That's Breda Fallon's word this morning. My name is Susan. I'm listening to Father Sean at the moment. As a divorcee, I have sat at Mass at times to be told that I am a sinner, as the correct family unit consists of a married mother and father and their children. Sitting in a small congregation with your parents where everyone present knows your situation is such a difficult thing to endure. Church numbers have never been so low, yet I choose to attend. I am made feel like I should not be present as I am a sinner. With this priest, rather I raise my children in a deeply unhappy environment rather than raised them in a happy home, yet it feels like he can say all this coming from someone who has never had to deal with the trials and tribulations of a relationship. I go to Mass in the Stole on Tuesdays and Thursdays and always enjoy Father Declan's few words. If I'd been there when Father Sheehy gave that rant, I also would have walked out. How dare he, says this listener. Father Sheehy has held a mirror to every casual Catholic in Ireland, says another commenter. This is what Catholics believe it. Own it. It's not all pretty dresses and bouncy castles. Another listener says, I was at Mass and a Mass months ago and the priest gave a sermon about abortion and he said they thought the aborted babies were thrown to the dogs. I nearly got sick as I had lost a baby. That comes from someone who couldn't have children. Totally inappropriate. I'm a Catholic. Well done, Father Sean, for speaking the truth. I agree 100% what he said. People don't like to hear the truth about abortion, gay marriage, IVF, children changing their sex. Why did the bishop need to apologise for Father Sean telling the truth? No one talks about the children of Fatima and Saint Faustina have seen it. Okay, there you go. That's just some of your views and comments coming into us on the programme. Now, as we were speaking, as we heard from Father Sean Sheehy there yesterday at Mass, half 10 Mass, in Listowel, in St. Mary's Church in Listowel. Father Sheehy again said Mass and said that people gave him a standing ovation. Margaret Carmody is on the comment line, was at Mass in Listowel yesterday, and she was one who of those who gave Father Sean Sheehy a standing ovation. For Margaret Carmody, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning. A standing ovation. Why did you give him a standing ovation, Margaret?
Well, I believe he's proclaiming the word of God. I believe he's proclaiming to us and preaching to us what we as Catholics should do. And I believe going to Mass that it's a long time since I heard a sermon or any priest telling the congregation about sin and sinfulness. Right? He proclaimed the word of God as per the gospel of the day. And how Zacchaeus repented and he was forgiven by God, and he said it's all about if you commit sin, we're all sinners, he said, including myself. Father Sheehy said that. He said you're all sinners, so am I a sinner, he said. We need to repent and we need forgiveness. And as far as I'm concerned, I believe that he is proclaiming and preaching the words of God as laid down to us by the commandments. We cannot be a la carte Catholics. We cannot just pick and choose what we want. And look, I'm not coming on here to Radio Kerry and say that I'm not a sinner. Of course I am. I'm a sinner the same as many others, right? But there are rules. Every organisation you join, Jerry, you will have to abide by the rules.
Said
to Tracy yesterday, yes. If I went to Ballybunion to play a game of golf and I said to the who's in charge, I'm not starting on the first green this morning. I'm going to start at the ninth green and I'm going to come against you all. Would I be allowed to do that?
The difference is, though, Margaret, you wouldn't be sent to hell for going on the ninth green or you wouldn't be threatened with hell for going to the Knight Green Ballybunion Golf Club. This is a different matter, surely, isn't it?
Well, maybe the word hell, we haven't heard about it for many, many years. And religion has gone out of the schools now. But when I was going to school this many years ago, geez, we were frightened. I know the DLS were frightened out of us about hell and brimstone and all that kind of thing. And that's gone, and thank God that's gone. But something will have to be told because of the way the church is going. We cannot be a la carte Catholics. And I have to agree with them. We have divorce. I know people voted for it. We have abortion, which I think is a terrible crime, personally. The murder of innocent little babies. I think it's a terrible, horrible crime for us as Catholics to accept that. I have nothing at all against gay people. I know them all my life, since I started going out as a young person. They were our best friends, dancers and everything. So we have nothing. And I don't know what they want to prove, because they were always acknowledged and recognised.
I don't think they really were, Margaret, though.
Well, we
acknowledged and recognised. Surely they, first of all, they were persecuted under the law and persecuted from the altar for many years. Many of them were forced to hide themselves away, and that led to a terrible toll on themselves, denying a part of what they were. So I don't know if that's fair to say that they were recognised down through the years. And if you say you've nothing against them, that might be your position, but the church does. It's got significant things against them. It calls them sinners. Well, and Father Sheehy said yesterday, and or over the weekend, that they're going to hell if they don't repent.
He said we're all going to hell if we don't repent.
No, he specifically called them out. And said they're going to hell.
Everybody else out as well, Jerry. Nobody can extract from his homily. I have a copy of it. Nobody can extract from his one paragraph. He told us all, we must repent as sinners and get forgiveness. He spoke about venial sin and he spoke about mortal sin.
He spoke, Margaret, in terms of the Old Testament, though.
And also,
he spoke in the strict interpretation of Scripture. Now, for many Catholics and even for theologians, the church has moved on from that literal definition of everything that was written down thousands of years ago by men. And I know we believe on instruction from God, but a definition of what they felt was sin at the time, that the church has moved to a different position, as evidenced by the bishop's statement yesterday, that the Christian position now is now different when it comes to these matters.
For personal reasons, I'm not going to go into the bishop's statement.
Okay.
I'm going to go for the teaching of Jesus.
Mm.
And when Jesus came on earth to redeem sinners, he was sent by his Father Almighty to redeem the sinners. That's what he did. But by doing that, and by advocating to everybody that they had to live good lives, he was crucified. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was crucified by people because they didn't like what he was telling them.
Mm.
And that's the society we're living in today, Jerry. An awful lot of people don't want to hear that they have to live by rules and regulations. And you know that yourself, because you see all the criminality and all the corruption and everything. That's not going here in Ireland, but all over the world. So I think that's...
When Father Sheehy talks about and being supportive of conversion therapy, which has done untold damage to young people across the world. Physical stimuli used to try and somehow physically change someone from being gay to being straight. Failed many times over. Destroyed lives.
I don't know anything about that, Jerry. I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a surgeon. So I don't know anything
about
that.
It's been well documented. It's been well documented, okay. Damage it's done.
But we go away from homosexuality and go away from... There are lots of other things that people aren't practicing as Catholics. As I said to you, Jerry, we can't be a la carte Catholics. We can't just go in and pick what we like out of the menu if you want to be a good Christian and a good Catholic.
Mm.
That's
Margaret,
what I'm saying.
If you think everyone...
I back Father Sheehy,
sure.
100%.
I understand
he's
you
a
do.
Kind, yeah. He's a kind, gentle man. Very respectful, and he doesn't go around the town of Listowel telling anybody in any business they're in how to run their business. He's doing what he's ordained to do, and that's preach the word of God.
Mm.
And that's all I can say. And that's why I rang Tressa yesterday, because of the standing ovation that he got in the church. And the church was three quarters full.
How many people were there?
I didn't count them, Jerry, but all I can say is judging there would be a couple of hundred people at Mass yesterday morning.
Okay. And what about the people who walked out from his sermon the previous Sunday morning?
Yeah, and the church was pretty packed Sunday morning. I think 20 or 30 people walked out.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, and my own belief, and that's why I rang Tressa to say he got a standing ovation, which means majority of the people were backing him.
The majority of the people in the church that morning were backing him.
In the church, both mornings.
Can I ask you, Margaret, what sort of a church do you think we would have if it went the way Father Sheehy says it should go? That all priests should preach fire and brimstone every Sunday, Old Testament, you stick by the rules, you have to repent or you will go straight to hell, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, there can be no contraception allowed, condoms are evil, homosexuality not allowed, you're going to hell if you don't deny that part of yourself, if you have to be a strict by the books Catholic, how many people do you think would be going or subscribing to Mass?
Would it be a much smaller church?
It can't
be anything smaller than what it is, because the crowds have gone, they're dwindled, there are loads of churches practically empty, so there has to be a reason for that. And I'm not going to tell the bishop or the priest how to do the job that they're ordained to do. That's not me, that's not what I'm here for. I'm only here to back Father Sheehy. He's a good man. He preached according to the gospel of the day.
Yeah.
He preached about forgiveness, repentance, and Jesus.
Margaret, he was stood down by our previous bishop, Bill Murphy, in 2009 for his comments and his support for a sex offender, a convicted sex offender in Tralee Circuit Court. Now, the fact that he's still allowed to say Mass, and he was only saying Mass in replacement for the parish priest who's gone to the Holy Land, would shock a lot of people even after that, separate to anything that he said that might have upset people now. Is that not a sign of where the church is at the moment? That you have an 80-year-old priest having to come back and say Mass, having been previously stood down by a previous bishop because there just aren't many priests left. There's a story this morning, majority of priests, huge numbers of priests, elderly, or heading for elderly. No young priests, not enough young priests are joining up, and it's put the church in crisis.
And the church is in crisis, Jerry, because we have no seminarians. And last Wednesday, the Pope held a conference in the Vatican of 100 seminarians. And what did he tell them? He told them to take all the apps of pornography out of their mobile phones. And he said there were many priests and nuns watching pornography. The Pope... You've seen the papers. It appeared in the papers last weekend. I have it. I had a meeting last week in Killarney, and I had a copy of it. So that's what the Pope is after, telling 100 seminarians to take the apps of pornography off their mobile phones.
More than a third of Irish Catholic priests are over 60. Is the reality at the moment.
I think we have one priest in Kerry that's 40. The rest are all over this. And that's sad.
Is that not in part because people felt the church was too strict, was too repressive, was in control of people's sexual lives and all the outcomes, the Magdalene laundries, separate from even the abuse scandal and all of that, that's why people have left the church?
No, I don't think so, Jerry. I think that they're not being led properly. I think they don't have proper guidance. I think they don't have proper faith formation. Like, it's not good enough just for the Catholic Church to say, go to Mass once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are all the other services that they should be calling their flock into proclaiming the word of God to their flock?
Margaret, let me ask you this finally, just on the version of the church that Father Sheehy is preaching and advocating for a return to. You know, a listener gets in touch this morning and says, much hasn't changed since Sean McCarthy's song was written, In Shame, Love, In Shame. That's Sean McCarthy, the songwriter from Fanoog. That's about the woman who was pregnant without being married, treated cruelly, sees no way out, happened to someone very close to Sean McCarthy, Sean's song was used as the title of an international award-winning documentary by Conor Keane, In Shame, Love and Shame. His documentary is about how in 1946, in an unprecedented act of defiance against the local clergy, a group of Listowel men forced open the lock gates of their parish church. They did this in solidarity with Peggy McCarthy, a young, unmarried woman who, in the throes of a catastrophic labour, was refused admission to Listowel Hospital. She died after giving birth, and her body was refused entry to St Mary's Church, prompting a revolt by locals who forced the hand of the clergy. The same church where Father Sean Sheehy preached what he preached at the weekend.
No, there's a big difference.
What's the difference in what Father Sean Sheehy, with the sort of Catholicism, the condemnatory Catholicism Father Sheehy was preaching? What's the difference?
Look, the priest that locked somebody out of the church is totally different to Father Sean Sheehy.
Many people would contend it's the same thing. It's the tone of the same. It's going down the same, no mercy, lacking compassion, Old Testament style of Catholicism.
But there was very little compassion going back 60 or 70 years ago in the church by the hierarchy. But thanks be to God, that's all gone.
But it surely wouldn't be all gone if we return to what Father Sheehy, the brand of Catholicism Father Sean Sheehy was talking about.
But the brand of Catholicism he was talking about was per the gospel of the day, repent.
Which was the same gospel that was being preached by people in the hierarchy 50, 60 years ago, Margaret. That's the point that our listener is making. Things haven't changed if we go back to those days.
Look, I wasn't there that year, that time. I wasn't even born then. Mm. So whatever went on there, all the older people, my grandparents and all, they would speak about the authority that the clergy had then. But that's authority. Totally different thing to preaching the word of God. There's a different thing in exercising your authority than preaching the word of God. There's a vast difference in it, Jerry.
Yeah.
Authority is giving you the right to say, I am who I am and I'll do what I want to do. But that's not preaching the word of God, because they didn't abide by the word of God and they didn't abide by what they were ordained to do.
Okay. All right. Margaret, listen, thanks very much for giving us your view this morning on it.
And I just wanted yesterday to because of all the negative comments, and there were very good positive ones, that Sean Sheehy, Father Sean Sheehy, got a standing ovation at Mass yesterday.
Yeah,
and I wanted
that point
to go out loud and clear.
Okay. All right, Margaret, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Sorry.
That's
thank
Margaret
you.
Carmody there on the line with her view on the sermons and what Father Sean Sheehy had to say.
Where Kerry talks, it's Kerry Today with Jerry O'Sullivan.
Some of your comments to end the programme. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for an interesting and respectful interview with Father Sean. I take my hat off to you, Jerry. It's not an easy interview to interview someone like Father Sean, who has fundamental views. While I disagree with a lot of Father Sean's views, I admire that he speaks with courage. Church and religion does not get much discussion. Thanks to Radio Kerry for facilitating all views. Free speech is the winner today, says James. Seamus, originally from Listowel, listening from Buenos Aires, Argentina, says, I feel if you're in direct contradiction with the teaching of the Catholic faith, you should leave that faith. The institution has made it poisonous on things, has made its positions on things very clear. I am a gay married man and I choose not to attend a Catholic church. If I attended for a wedding or a funeral service, one knows what they expect to hear. That's Seamus' view this morning. Our beautiful, much loved and treasured grandchild had a very happy, had very unhappy and sad early years. For the parents, there were many visits over many years to three schools over issues of our grandchild being bullied and on one occasion physically beaten up. There were lots of prescriptions of medication which only made her health deteriorate. She was only surviving, not living. The sadness, pain, worries and hurt was destroying our beautiful grandchild and all who love her. Does Father Sean know what it's like to watch your beloved grandchild die inside so much they tried twice to die by suicide? Perhaps if Father Sean had children, his empathy would grow. Today our grandchild is going through the transgender process and is still the same person, but filled with life, joy, peace, happiness and working ahead towards a healthy and successful future. Because of the increase in an open acceptance in education with schools in their community, my grandchild is accepted for who they are and is living a life we're all entitled to live. My grandchild volunteers within the community and many have gained from this beautiful person, giving their community a spirit of acceptance, help and above all, all non-judgmental. Father Sean should talk and listen to people who are suffering from judgment and hate and show them the love Jesus has asked us to. Father Sean is very selective in what he quotes from the Bible. And look, if anything that we talked about and you heard affected you in any way, you can call Samaritans on 116 123 at any time.